Well, one night, when I was a teenager, I had just spent the evening at a friend's house, and then I drove back home. Now, he lived on a farm about 3 miles away from my farm, so it was a pretty quick drive. When I got home, I turned off the car, and I got out, and it was one of those perfectly still, dark evenings of late summer. But then, just as I was leaving the vehicle, I suddenly heard this bizarre sound. I stopped right there and looked around. Nothing. No one. Silence. That was weird. So I took another step, and again I heard it. I have no idea where that noise is coming from. I have no idea. So I look towards the house and I check the windows because I figure, you know, maybe this is my dad trying to play a trick on me. Because he's known in my family for all sorts of noises that he can make. And he's got a bit of a prankster side. But I look toward the house and I don't see him or anyone. So I take another couple steps toward the house. And sure enough, once again, I have no clue what it is or where it's coming from. So finally, I step inside the front door, I stick my head inside the house, and I call, "Dad!" And he calls back from upstairs, "What?" And I go, "What is that?" And he goes, "What is what?" And I go, "That sound!" And he goes, "What sound?" We are very good at communication in my house. I don't know if you can tell. But finally, I get my dad to come downstairs and we head outside and we spend several moments listening for the noise. But there's nothing. So after a bit, he kind of turns to me and he says, "Well, maybe it was just a raccoon or something." And he turns to go back towards the house. But then, just then, we hear it. So he grabs a flashlight and we start looking around the yard, both truly mystified. After a few more times of hearing the noise, we realize that the noise is coming from my car. This is getting very weird indeed. So now we're scanning my car in the dark with a flashlight. We check the front seat, nothing. Back seat, nothing. Trunk, hood, nothing. And just then, as my dad's walking around the side of the car, he hears the noise again, very close. And he realizes that it's coming from way down low. So he gets down on his knees, and he shines the flashlight under the car. Still nothing. But then he hears the noise coming from even closer. And so he takes the flashlight, and he moves it slowly towards the location of the sound. The rear right tire. And from there, he starts to move the beam up above the wheel and shining up into the wheel well. And there we see it. The source of the weird noise. It's a rooster. And not just any rooster, it is a rooster from my friend's farm 3 miles away. It had somehow gotten caught up in the wheel well, above the tire, and it was stuck. Now, if any of us had that happen to us, I think we'd all go, as well. So I call my friend, and he and his dad come over. His dad's name is Steve. Steve comes, he's got these long leather gloves for handling these sorts of incidents, and he eventually manages to wrangle the little rooster free from up in the wheel well. And the instant it is down on the ground, it's strutting around like nothing ever happened. It's totally fine. And the funny thing to me is, above all, that Steve is not at all surprised. He says, "Oh yeah, anytime we're going to take a vehicle, we got to slap it around a little bit before we get in drive because we need to scare the chickens out of it." Apparently, more often than not, one of them would crawl up onto a tire and fall asleep because they get attracted to the warmth and the shelter. He said if you didn't bother a vehicle long enough, they might even try to roost there. Now, as I understand, this is not an isolated incident. There are lots of situations where specifically birds attempt to make homes in the oddest of places. If you just Google bird nest in funny place, hundreds of pictures and examples come up. You've got lampposts and porch swings, Christmas wreaths, exhaust pipes, statues. Any given location can be a home if a bird gets creative enough. I'm willing to bet some of you might even have some interesting stories as well of birds who chose the oddest spots. And so there is something delightfully quirky and relatable as we hear from Psalm 84 this morning, when the poet muses that even the sparrow finds a home and a swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts. Knowing what we know about these tendencies of birds, I don't think the psalmist is just being metaphorical here. I wonder if they had the actual experience of coming in to the temple and seeing that a bird had made a nest right there on the altar. It's almost as if we would have shown up this morning and instead of a floral bouquet, we just had a bird's nest sitting in the middle of the communion table. Or maybe even wedged up in some of the metal of the cross hanging above. And what I find touching is that the psalmist doesn't respond with, "Ah, would you look at that? How'd that bird get up there? Oh, shoo, shoo, you don't belong in here." Instead, the psalmist chooses to embrace it. Well, look at that. Even the birds want to come into God's presence. Even a sparrow can find a home here and a sense of belonging in the Lord's house of worship. But that's not the case for everyone, is it? Not everyone can find their place to call home or a place to which they belong. Recently, a couple of weeks ago, I checked in with some of our area shelters here in Traverse City, homeless shelters, and I found out that by and large, they're full. They have no more beds, no more space, so if someone else in this community becomes homeless, they're out of luck. There's nothing they can do. Where is their home? Where is the place that they belong? And then there's folks who do have some resources and financial options, maybe a steady job, but the housing options in some areas, like here, are so few and rarely ever affordable that they can't afford to rent, let alone buy. And so they're stuck between a rock and a hard place trying to figure out, here is my home, and yet I have no home, and I can't afford a home. So for all these people, where do they belong? And as I expand out on this idea, I can't help but be mindful of the people of Afghanistan. As this country gets swept up once again in Taliban rule, there's so many who are scrambling for safety and stability, especially the women and the girls there, whose opportunities and prospects and basic safety are much grimmer than they were just weeks ago. Many seek asylum and support from other nations, not just in Afghanistan, but in many places of turmoil. But they often don't get the safety and support they need, especially when citizens of other parts of the globe refuse to offer them welcome or any help. So for all of these refugees and asylum seekers, where is their home? Where do they belong? I can't help as well but turn and think about the church, too. Not just us, but the global Christian church, communities all around the world, some of whom are legitimately persecuted in the name of Christ. I'm talking buildings blown up, people tortured and killed for confessing Jesus as Savior in places that do not allow for religious freedom. For all those martyred and targeted people, where is their home? Where do they belong? And then, on the flip side, there's the other angle of the church, where we are at times the ones doing the persecuting. Because they don't think or look or act quite like we do. Because they interpret a handful of scripture verses differently. Or because there's something about them over there that we just don't understand, so we respond in fear and condemnation rather than in curious conversation. So for all those who get rejected by the church, where is their home? Where do they belong? If not here, where? Psalm 84 seems to suggest that a space of home and belonging can be found wherever the Lord dwells. In that space, there is joy and strength, happiness and trust. In that space, God is both the sun, the eternal light of guidance, and the shield, ongoing protection and preservation. And so that begs the next question. Where does the Lord dwell? For the ancient Israelites, God's primary dwelling place was the temple. We discussed Solomon last week when he asked for wisdom. Well, later on, he led the charge to ensure that the temple got completed in Jerusalem so that God's people could gather together to worship and to offer sacrifice and be in the presence of the Lord. Because in that phase of time, God was choosing to dwell in that particular way with God's people. And we see that beautifully described in the psalm from the psalmist this morning. And in some sense, I think we can still experience parallels of that today. I mean, just take a moment and look around this space right here this morning. Seriously, take a moment, look around, take it in. There's something about the beauty of the craftsmanship, the intentionality of the architecture, that it gives you a sense of something bigger in here. You know what I mean? It's deep, it's mysterious, wondrous, bigger than ourselves. And so our Christian sanctuaries today can still carry a parallel sense of that importance of our physical space and location where God chooses to dwell, a space that could offer belonging and home. But we really can't stop there. We have to take this a step further yet, because friends, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have been promised that the Holy Spirit of God has chosen to dwell not only among us, but inside us. Do you not know that your body is the temple in which the divine has chosen to reside? Don't you know that you are no longer your own? Don't you know that wherever you go, the spirit and presence of Christ is going too? Today, we do not assure ourselves of God's dwelling place just as a specific location that we're called to gather to. We're assured by the reality that God's dwelling place is in each and every one of God's people. He lives in you. The Spirit of the Lord resides in you. So what truly makes this sanctuary special, a sacred space in which God dwells, it's not the architecture, it's not the craftsmanship, it is the presence of God's people gathering together as a united body of Christ. That is what makes this space a special place where God dwells, a place of belonging, and a place to call home. And that is my prayer for each and every one of you this morning, that you can call this body of believers home, that this would be a collection of beloved children of God to which you belong, that this might be a community in which you find joy and strength, happiness and trust, a community where God uses those around you to satisfy your heart's longings and give you perseverance and protection. I pray that you have that here. I pray that you are finding your home here. But I should be clear that finding a sense of home and belonging is distinct from getting a sense of perfection and zero conflict. Anyone that tells you that their home life is perfect with zero conflict is either lying or it's Jesus themselves. You're always going to have hang-ups about the community you're a part of. Certain people you don't get along with, an issue or two that you differ from most. That is the nature of being a part of something bigger than yourself. Being a part of a family. We differ, we bump heads, we make mistakes, but even in the midst of that, we can foster a sense of belonging with each other. And so I do pray that you have that here, even if some things aren't as you'd want them to be. So may we all receive that gift of home. May we all discern how we can turn around and offer that same gift to others. Because after all, that right there is the true beauty of God dwelling within us. It's not limited to one location or time or situation. God is with us as we gather, and God is with us as we disperse. We are promised this, so I hope you believe this. And you know what that means. It means that there is potential for others outside this body to experience a sense of home and belonging through you. Those without shelter, those without a group in which to belong, asylum seekers, refugees, the persecuted and rejected, all of these people can glimpse the presence of God through the Spirit inside each of us and get ushered into the presence of the Lord, saying, "How lovely is this? This person was present to me and listened to my cries of suffering. They danced in my moment of joy. This person gave me a meal when I was hungry and checked in when I was lonely. This person forgave me for my past failures and advocated for me in a moment of crisis. This person accepted me for who I am and empowered me to grow." It's not rocket science. It's no magic trick. It is the simple awareness of the divine Lord who lives in us and guides us to be a presence of home and belonging to others, not by our efforts, but by the coming reign of God that is already in our midst. So as we go today, remember that just as God once dwelled especially in the temple, so now you are the temple. May our body be a home, a space of belonging, the kind of place where even a sparrow can find a home, both in here and out there. And hopefully, we'll be a little more comfortable than a rooster getting stuck in a wheel well. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.